Hello and welcome to Nubology. Thank you for joining us for this episode. I hope that you're cozy, that you're comfortable, that you're settled in, that if it's a hot day, you have maybe some ice cream this time, maybe a sundae, or maybe you got a McFlurry. I know anything is possible. Let's get into today's episode. We are going to be chatting about the best of last gen and yeah, where we're going from here. As always, I am joined by my gaming partner in crime. Mav, how are you?
Hey, Ash. I'm well, man. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while, but yeah, glad that we are back to an episode, that we have some stories and some very valuable content and conversation that we have been meaning to have for a long time.
Yes.
So without any further ado, let's get into it.
Awesome, man. I feel like before we start, 2020 for us has been, well, it's been good. It's been good to us. We've released 10 episodes, and for a gaming podcast, we've been doing pretty well. I'm pretty proud of us, and it's okay to take a break now and then. So season one is doing really well. We're approaching the end of 2020. Yeah, let's keep pushing some content out. Let's keep giving people some episodes and see where this goes.
Yeah, thank you to our listeners. Thank you for giving us the time of day and listening to our thoughts and opinions about the games and the stuff that we enjoy speaking about. And yeah, we'd love to get more of you involved on the show. So if you are keen to join us for a conversation sometime, let us know and we'll gladly have one together.
Yeah, and if you're a new listener who just pressed play on this episode, please give us a subscribe and a review on Apple iTunes. We'd love that. Spread the love.
Okay, but back to games and gaming. I know it's been a bit of a wild ride.
But we're here, man.
Yeah, from 2012. Yeah, we're here.
Cool, but I guess we're going to keep that for our next episode, the next gen episode. So we're going to just look back at the last gen stuff, which I am sure everyone has a lot of memories of. I mean, Ash, I know you have a ton of memories of last gen and the amazing games that you have played. And I'm sure if our listeners are listening to us right now, I mean, you guys have played amazing games as well. But let's get into the more of the meat of this episode, Ash. Let me just pose a question to you very quickly. Your favorite memory with last gen, but it has to be one.
So it's not completely gaming related, but it is very close to it. So my PlayStation 4 story started very close to launch, actually. So what happened was I was one of the few to get my hands on a PS4 and set it up, but it wasn't mine. It was a relative's. I remember going to the shop, getting it, and taking it out of the box and then setting up for them. And then I set one up for another relative, so it was close, but it wasn't really there. But I do remember the day that I actually went to Macro. Okay, so before I got my own PlayStation, what I was doing was checking online. So I was deciding between the PS4 Slim and the PS4 Pro. I was looking at the prices and the bundles and the different things that you get. So one day I checked Macro's website, and to my surprise, it was a PS4 Pro and was on sale for 5,600 Rand. So for anyone who knows how much a Pro normally costs, that was a very, very good price. So on that day, I went down to Macro. I went in my onesie, actually. So my Batman onesie. It was fun. People were taking pictures, but yeah. I did get my Pro and I came home, got it out of the box, installed it. Well, installed Destiny. It was a Destiny 2 bundle. And yeah, it's been smooth sailing ever since. So that's my favorite memory from last gen. What about you, Muff?
I should have posed it as, what's your origin story with PlayStation 4 and how you got it? But I guess we got there in the end. Amazing, dude. Like, I remember also checking the prices for PS4 and the PS4 Pro. And the fact that you got that for, what did you say? Yeah. 6 grand or five six, was it?
Yeah, 5,600.
Wow, man. A PS4 Pro for that price at Macro. Name drop, by the way. Awesome, man. That's amazing. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a PS4 Pro for that price.
Yeah, I know. It was only for the one day as well.
Was it? Or was it like a Black Friday special or something?
No, it was in October, so.
Luck was smiling on you that day.
Yeah, it was definitely a blessing.
My story is a little bit different from yours. I've had a PlayStation 3 for the longest time, man. I actually got fed up of it. It was one of those fat ones. And there was a ton of movies on there. I remember I started my first job as a junior graphic designer at an agency in Durban. And my salary wasn't that great for those of you that is in the marketing space, like Ash and I are. You'll know that starting out, your salary isn't what you expect or what you want. But that's life. Anyway, my salary was quite low, but it was going towards a Christmas, like December. This was my first job as a junior graphic designer, and they decided to give me a bonus for all the late nights I've put in. And I was like, I am getting that PlayStation 4. So I drove to Pavilion, that's in Durban, and I picked up my PlayStation 4, probably paid like $6,500 or something, but it was 1 terabyte PlayStation 4, not a pro. Amazing. I don't remember my first game, which is not something I should be saying on this podcast. I don't actually remember the first game I played on it, but it was amazing, man. I still remember unboxing it, plugging it in, and at the time I didn't have fiber, so it really sucked that I didn't have PlayStation Network. It was a great memory for me, getting my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and booting it up for the first time, I remember that I had an issue with my PSN, that my password wasn't working, so I created a new account for then. But yeah, I think booting it up for the first time, there's always something special when you have the control in your hand and the lights are on, comes on for the first time. And yeah, there's really nothing that compares to getting your own console and playing. I think we might be getting a bit romanticized about what is going on.
Well, you know, it's a festive season. It's time for love. Before we jump into like the amazing games and stuff, one of the things that I don't know if you felt the same way that really amazed me, and this is so simple but it was amazing, was that the audio jack on the PlayStation 4 controller was there. And then you don't have to, like, when you're gaming late at night and your parents are sleeping, you know, you don't want to be gaming and waking them up, so you had your headphones in and you would just be so immersed in the game. That for me was amazing that they included that in.
Yeah, it was a bit of a game changer, because it allowed, I think, more of the better headphones out there to be utilized with PlayStation, because I know before it was a bit sticky when it came to audio. But yeah, the audio was a massive step forward, having it there in your control and the touchpad and all of that interactivity. It definitely paid off for PlayStations. Hardware aside, I know that people do remember the jet noises that the PlayStations make. In party chats, for me, it does get a bit bad, because people are like, hey, is there a vacuum on? The people that played with me before know that, no, that's my PlayStation, and they point that out.
Well, I mean, Dex Jenny is here, and apparently both consoles are very quiet, but more on that in the next episode. For now, let's focus on the last gen. I want to find out from you, like, I don't remember my first game that I played, and that's, I feel really sad that I just realized I don't remember the first game I put into the PlayStation 4. But for you, what was the first game that you put the disc in and you immersed yourself in?
Funny story. Yeah, so remember I said that my PlayStation, my PSN was not working. I had to fix that, and when I did, Destiny 2 was my first game that I ended up playing. People that know Destiny 2 know that it's online only, and you need to download updates before you actually get on. So I had to wait to download, and eventually, I think a day later, I got to play Destiny 2, and yeah, it was fun. I mean, the audio was pretty cool. The story and basically like the RPG elements of a first-person shooter, that was something that I enjoyed. And yeah, so I had Sony Pulse Elites on my PlayStation 3. It was forward compatible to PlayStation 4. I did download the Hitler Companion app and I used it, and it's sort of a generational leap, but this time it wasn't something that graphically, it wasn't too much back then. It was more like an audio thing that was a bit more instant. And yeah, it's one of the first games that I played on my own console. But on, I think, my first gaming experience on a PS4, that would have to be Battlefield 4. Because I played like 1,000 plus hours on PlayStation 3 online. So as soon as we got the PS4, and that was the game that was played. And yeah, it was pretty fun. I mean, it's more Battlefield, better graphics. It's just a straightforward upgrade. So that's something that I remember playing. Okay, so I know you don't remember your first game, but what is one of the first games that you do remember playing?
I remember you saying that you did buy the bundle with the Destiny 2, I think. But from my experience, I know that Destiny 2 only works with internet connection. That's why I asked, maybe there was a different game that you purchased. Because a lot of people at the time didn't have fiber to their homes. I mean, it recently boomed. Like, when the PlayStation 4 came out, it wasn't really, you know, playing a game that you needed internet for. That's why I was like, maybe you put something else. Doesn't seem like you're a Destiny. I don't feel like you like Destiny too much. I know you like a Battlefield guy, but Destiny, I don't think that's your kind of like cup of tea. My first game that I remember purchasing and playing was Infamous Second Son. Do you remember that one?
I played Infamous on PlayStation 3, but it was a demo that I played. And
okay,
it was cool, but it wasn't my kind of game. But when I saw that Infamous Second Son was one of the staple titles to the PS4, I saw the graphics and I saw how it looked, and I thought they did a pretty good job with the game. But no, I haven't played it. I just remember it being very pretty to look at.
Well, I'm not going to criticize the game. It was, for me, the missions were repetitive, but it was an amazing experience for me playing on the DualShock controller, and the audio was amazing. I think just the whole experience of Infamous Second Son will always be a good memory to me, because it's one of those games where I didn't stop playing. Like, normally I would change the game or I would look for another game, but definitely that was one of the games that I played. My second game was Uncharted, the collection. I played 1, 2, and 3 on the PlayStation 4 straight after Infamous Second Son, and loved Nathan Drake from... Still love him, so... that's when I fell in love with Nathan Drake and the Naughty Dog.
Yeah, those were definitely, I think, more of the hallowed titles for PlayStation games, because you can't really say anything bad about Uncharted, which I did recently. People didn't take it too well, but full disclosure, it is a very good gaming series, and yeah... It is cool, and it's one of the better experiences out there on PlayStation. Infamous and Uncharted, so those are both first-party titles that you played on your PlayStation.
Yes, correct. Just before we jump off, I feel like we should say, I'm just going to go out and say it, because I love the Uncharted series. It's impossible not to love it, I think. There were a few things that I didn't like about the game, but when it came to action-adventure RPG, they nailed that, man. They really defined action-adventure RPG. Even if you look at the newer games like Star Wars that I've played recently, it has a bit of Uncharted elements to it, especially with those high-end action scenes when you're hanging off the helicopter or train and you're trying to battle your way back in. I mean, that really, for me, was something that I'll never forget.
Yeah, it was. I mean, to have a game redefining what you know a game to be, that's when you know that it is very good. And that's exactly what the Uncharted series did time and time again. So it wasn't like a one-off and done. It was the first game pushed narrative forward, the second pushed everything forward, and the third added, I think, a deeper level of combat. So yeah, it was very good. They are still very good games. I think that's also the best of PS3, that the first three Uncharted's were. Yeah, okay, so that was the best of... Well, it wasn't the best, it was the games that we remembered playing, like the first few titles that we actually got into the new systems and started to enjoy them. But bringing things back to something that's more current, what would you say? I know that Game of the Year events and stuff like that is basically around the corner. What has your Game of the Year been?
Is it going to be Game of the Year for 2020, or am I kind of just picking Game of the Year from the last gen? Because that's a very difficult thing to do, but I'm happy to pick 2020 a Game of the Year if you need be.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's first speak about Game of the Generation, which will be from 2012 up until 2020. Second half of that question would be, what's Game of the Year 2020? It's not an easy one to answer, but it is a fun one.
Can I at least give maybe two tops, or three? Can I give three? I feel like three should be a safe spot.
Yeah, I think a top three is
okay.
Is a good enough safe round for it.
The first one I'm going to say, purely because of the amazing work that went into the game, and yes, the story was a little bit rubbish, but the gameplay itself and the combat and everything about it was amazing. The Last of Us Part 2, definitely game of the generation. What they've managed to do with a last-gen console is amazing. I mean, not just combat, but being in the scenery and taking photos and all of those things. I mean, they really did define the last-gen. They really pushed it to its limits, I would say. But definitely, my number one is definitely Last of Us Part 2. Now, the story I didn't enjoy, but when it came to the technical side of things and how you could play and what you could see, and it just it made you immersed in the Last of Us world. And it's very difficult to get out of it when you finish the game. Second one, I think, is Spider-Man for me, because they've because Insomniac, oh my god, Insomniac, I love them so much, but they've taken a character that everybody loves, a beloved character. When you were little, you always wanted to be Spider-Man, you know, it's undercover and he's got a secret identity and that's kind of what lured you in, right? But with Spider-Man PS4, what they've done is they didn't say we're going to start from scratch. They give you a Spider-Man that's matured, a Spider-Man that's going through obstacles and difficulties in his life, you know, and pulls you into the New York City. I mean, so beautifully done. I mean, they polished that the character model. They polished the city. I see tweets that people are like with Miles. They're tweeting that, oh my god, my building is in the Miles Morales game, and I'm just like, wow, wow. Insomniac deserves that. Applaud for that.
Yeah, they do. What I also enjoyed with the way that Insomniac handled that game was that they didn't try to retell the story of who Peter Parker is. They know that it's been done many, many times before, and they take that and they say, okay, you know who he is. Let's develop and mature that story and that character, and let's take it to a more enjoyable place. And I think that's exactly what they did with the game.
Definitely for me, that's my second game. And my last game is Horizon Zero Dawn. Man, that game.
Really?
It really should be somewhere higher, but that game, amazing, man. What Guerrilla Games did with that, all these studios that we just mentioned, what they did with Last Gen, pushing it to its limits to the point where you actually feel like you're actually like, wow, the graphics, amazing. The character development, amazing. The combat, amazing.
I think that agreeing with you on that point, something that I noticed was, okay, let's take it back a bit in gaming. So if any of you remember the Battlefield relaunch, it was in 2011. So it was some time ago. But something that the devs came out and said in the marketing strategy, and this was something that was amazing, because for them to actually say it and then back it up with the game that they delivered was incredible. So good job to them. And so the term that they used was next gen now. And any good game brings you that feeling of having next gen now, because they are redefining and evolving what we know to be a game to something that's a bit more enjoyable, a bit more polished, something that's better, something that's just an improvement. It just compounds and improves on everything that we know, and that's what we enjoy.
But I'm gonna ask you now, Ash, your best three games of last gen. Go for it. I won't judge you. So please go ahead.
Okay, I think before I get into my list, we did put this question forward to some of our friends and listeners, and this is what they had to say. So here's Sabs, also known as Sebastian, and Yasmin, to share some of their thoughts.
So I'm Sebastian, my gamertag Sabs_3, which most of you know me from Battlefield 5. In my opinion, I think the game of the year would have to be the Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. I just feel like the graphics and playing it on new gen, you know, gives it a different feeling than any game anyone would have played before. So that would be my top pick for game of the year. And my personal favorite game would have to be the Fallout 4, from the Fallout series. So Fallout 4 would have to be my top pick. And yeah, I think that's right about it.
Thank you, Sebastian, for your amazing voice note. Definitely, I was a bit worried that you didn't mention Battlefield first. but I'm glad you mentioned it in the second part of your voice note. Fallout 4, amazing. I'm super, super grateful that you reached out to us as well.
Yeah, dude, thank you so much for sending us your thoughts and opinions on your favorite games. I think that listening to that, I realized that it's going to be very subjective, because everyone is going to have their own connection to the games that they play and to a special something that's in it, a certain je ne sais quoi that the game has. It's pretty cool to hear different thoughts and different ideas and different experiences, I think. So yeah, Fallout 4, I've never been too much of a fan for the Fallout games, unfortunately. But yeah, I think that any game that you enjoy, that you connect to it, is worth playing. I think we do also have Yasmin as a voice note, so let's hear what she says, and I'm just going to try and keep the tension a bit high before I give you guys my games.
Ash is keeping us on the edge of our seats. I'm now worried about what his pick is, but let's listen to the voice note and get back to it.
Okay, sweet.
Hi, my name is Yasmin, and my gamer tag is KissMyX193 on PlayStation. My contender for Game of the Year has got to be Ghost of Tsushima, and for Game of the Generation, it's most definitely God of War 4. To begin with, Ghost of Tsushima is one of the most beautiful games I've ever seen. As far as open world games go, it has to be my favorite. The story itself is deep and captivating. The combat is seamless and satisfying, although it was a bit more difficult and intense than I expected. It's not flawless, there are issues with synchronization of the mocap and Japanese audio track. The facial expressions of the characters don't match the emotion of their voices in the Japanese audio, and there are lip sync issues. However, where the game falls short in that aspect, it makes up for it 100 times over elsewhere. The game runs smoothly and is true to reality of 13th century Japan. Moving on to God of War 4, I could talk about this for hours, so I'll try to keep this short. God of War 4 is my favorite game of the entire series. The previous games opened with a bang, killing some god or titan right off the bat. The opening of God of War 4 is much more subtle, a bold change, but one I feel is perfect for the story they needed to tell. The character development of Kratos and Boy is on point, and I fell in love with their relationship. It stayed that way throughout the entire game. Usually, to me, secondary characters can be a bit dull, difficult to connect with, and not very useful in battle, but Atreus changed that. As an extreme lover of mythology, the game really captivated me. Storytime on the boat was a great way to integrate the lore, and discovering new things at every turn really kept me motivated to play, even with the particularly difficult fights. The combat was extremely satisfying, and it hit every note with portraying the old Norse world. One of the best aspects, though, was the opportunity for discourse that this game has left in its wake. 2 years later, and I'm still discussing it with friends. The UI is extremely good, and I had no issues traversing the tabs. The camera position really allows you to focus on enemies, and the fact that it's all in one continuous shot is really cool. The team at Santa Monica blew this one out of the water. I expected more references to the previous games, but they kept it to a minimum, and yet it's still at home. It's a creative reimagining of the familiar Kratos, and I'm really stoked for the release of Ragnarok. I cannot wait to see where this journey goes.
Thank you, Yasmin, for that amazing voice note. I'm blown away. She's very concise with her review. Why doesn't she have reviews all the time? We should give her a slot or a segment where she just reviews games. Because it's such a fresh take on God of War. I haven't thought about it that way, but very fresh take, and really opened my eyes to a few things I didn't know about God of War. So amazing. Thank you so much, Yasmin, for sending us the voice note, and we hope that you send us more voice notes or more reviews.
Yes, if you are keen, then why not? Let's see how we could get you more involved. She is our top fan on Facebook, so
awesome.
It's very in-depth. I think the games that have you talk about them once you finish them, it's very impactful, and they leave an impression on you, and that's a mark of a good one. And I somewhat agree with what Yasmin said, and so very good points, very concisely and eloquently put. And let me get to my picks. Okay, I'm probably going to break a few hearts with this one, but The Last of Us 2 does not feature anywhere on my list, so if you hoped for that to happen, it's not coming from my mouth, unfortunately. So my pick for Game of the Generation, I think that there's a lot going on, and I think my pick is, drumroll please, My Name is Mayo.
My Name is Mayo, the last one?
Okay, no, I'm joking. It's to those of you who don't know, it's just a game that you play that's about 20 minutes long that you just click on a jar of mayo. That's it.
Okay.
Okay, no, I was completely joking. Yeah, so my game of the generation is, without a doubt, God of War. And it's just something that's unassuming. You just pick it up and it is a remake of, like, they redesigned everything. So it's a remake of God of War. And I think that what I enjoyed about the God of War series, even before we get to, I'm not sure if you remember, but to people who had PlayStation 2s and you have a conversation with them about gaming, and weirdly, one of the things that comes up is Greek mythology. I mean, like, you wouldn't expect someone who isn't anywhere near a level of someone who's a philosopher enjoying something that's Greek and based in the Greek mythology and that world. And that was sort of refreshing. If I think about that now, it's very cool that they managed to get into a consumer or a person that typically wouldn't want to pick up that sort of stuff and to learn and to read about the stuff. And then Yasmin made a point and said that it's done that with Norse mythology, so they are keeping interest alive in many of the different things that and cultures and experiences that people had around the world. And I think that's pretty cool, but also the quality and the design and basically everything that they did in that game, I think that was a truly next-gen experience. And if you played on 4K, if you experience that, then you know exactly what I'm talking about, because even some of the high-end games on PC don't really match what we saw in that game. So to do it on hardware that was, I think, 5 years old at the time, which in technical specs is a few lifetimes, and that was amazing to see that happen. So that is my game of the generation. Other two spots, I would say The Witcher 3 will be my third pick, simply because of the quality, the content, the diversity, the length of the game. It's a proper experience. It's $60. It's, well, I say $60, but I mean it's full price for us one time and that's it. And then there's expansion to it. There's just, it's a world that is fleshed out. It's a world that lots of love and care went into it. And because of the quality that's there, the experience and the richness of whatever happens. Because, okay, so I was having a conversation with some of my friends, and when they heard that I didn't play The Witcher, it was sort of a blasphemous gaming statement. And going to play the game, to experiencing it, I see why they say that. And yeah, it's something that can't be accurately explained until you play the game. So that's my third one. God of War is my first one. And the second one is definitely Ghost of Tsushima. And the quality, the world building, the experience. I mean, people have taken into samurai culture and into the Bushido code and learning about, I don't know if you know this, but you know that ninjas are ninjas and like assassins and all of that, so you know what ninja is. But a proper term for it will be shinobi. That's what the Japanese call ninjas. And it's pretty cool because looking at the game, Jin is the best example of what a shinobi would be and who a shinobi would be. So that's pretty cool. And having that real world groundedness is amazing in the experience. And I mean, you get surprised at every turn when you play the game. It's just like more for you. And yeah, I think that would be my thoughts on that.
Wow. Okay. Like we said before, guys, this is our opinions, our new opinions, if you will. And I know that everyone out there has their different games, like Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and you probably like Uncharted 4, or you like Red Dead Redemption. There's so many games that we have not mentioned, because this is just our opinions about the games that we're attached to, we're connected to. Ash, God of War, we all know the story of God of War and Ash and how much he's attached to that game. The Witcher 3, amazing. I love that game. CD Projekt Red don't make games, they build worlds, and they immerse you in that world. So,
speaking of which,
glad that's in your
something,
choice.
Something big is around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. And the Ghost of Tsushima, man, I have not had a chance to play it yet, but from what I've heard and the things that you've told me, it's an amazing game, and I can't wait to pick it up very, very soon, guys. I will play it this December, I promise.
You may want to hang on that, because if you do pick it up on next gen, it will be running on 4K 60 FPS, okay. I think. So it's going to be a very cool experience on that.
let's give something for our amazing Xbox listeners. If you are listening, we know that there's games that you love, and please, we'd love to hear from you. What's your game of the generation? Games that stuck with you, you're attached to. For me, when it came to Xbox, one of the exclusives that really popped out was Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I don't know if you know about this game from Moon Studios.
I do not at all, so please let me know.
It's amazing, man. It's a beautiful world. It's a heartbreaking story, but it's a beautiful world. The music, the music is amazing. It's kind of like an indie game, but people don't see it as an indie game. It's definitely RPG. It's not 3D, which is what's different about it. It's a 2D. Basically, you play in 2D, but it's an amazing game. A lot of people fell in love with it. Yeah, I think you should go check it out, man. Ori and the Will of the Wisps. There's part one and part two. Xbox did an amazing job with that from Moon Studios. And then we got to mention Halo. When Halo came out, that was the thing. Hey, everyone was playing Halo. Big Bang Theory mentioned Halo like a million times, but Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4 was amazing. Not so much 5, but still an amazing game for Xbox that they came out with. And I know that what they're working on next with Halo Infinite is going to be amazing for their Xbox fans. So those are the two that I can think of from Xbox. How can I forget Forza Horizon? One of the amazing racing games out there that, I mean, come on, we have not seen them like landscapes like that ever before. And the fact that they're running that on an Xbox console, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a time where Gran Turismo went unchallenged for racing game that you could play. That was a standard. But Forza came around and it just got consistently better and more detailed and just more fun. And that's pretty cool.
Let's not forget Gears of War. A lot of people love that game, and a lot of Xbox fans love that game as well.
I think we need to get one on the show just to have a chat with them. And I have heard some very interesting thing about Xbox and being an Xbox gamer. Jokes aside, I think I'm going to get into a bit more detail in our next episode. So if you're listening, hang around. And that should be next on your playlist.
Please do come on if you're an Xbox fan and you play Xbox and you love the games that come out. We'd love to have you on to chat about Xbox and what happens in your world, because I feel like we're so immersed in our world. We still love Xbox. We love all consoles. We have to. This is a podcast for all gamers. So definitely come on. Let's talk about it. Ash, do you want to maybe move on to... I know we've mentioned our top three and we've mentioned like Game of the Generation, but for you, I want to find out, like, I know God of War is a game that's going to stick with you for a long time, right? But I want to find out from you. Was there another game that you felt attached to that's not, I don't want to say a triple, yeah, that wasn't a triple A game, that was developed from a really small studio and they ran it on the PlayStation 4? Have you ever played a game like that at last gen and you thought, wow, that's amazing?
Hugh, it's basically a platformer it's sort of like a puzzle platformer, because you have to basically make it through levels, but using different colors to make it blue. So for you to access something, you need to change the color of the level, which is like the color of the world, for you to have access to that part of it, and then you need to switch back to the other color if you're going to hop to another block. So it's something it was very intelligent when I played it, and it's something that I really did enjoy. I think if you haven't played it, and if you are looking for something that's refreshing, something that's a platformer, please do. It's fun. And when a game is fun, it's a good game.
Nice. I think for me, if I had to think about it, a game that wasn't AAA but really made me a fan of PlayStation 4 and the console itself was two indie games. Which one was What Remains of Edith Finch. Have you played that game?
I have not, but I have heard about it.
It's regarded as one of the greatest successes in storytelling of video games, in the history of video games. It's a fantastic journey, man.
Okay, that's a bold statement.
Yeah, 100%. A lot of people, there was a guy from The Ringer and The Verge that said that, you know, this game is amazing. But it's different. It's not a game. It's not a typical indie game. It's more narrative driven. You explore this abandoned house and you kind of unravel mysteries around this family, which I'm not going to give in too much. If you want to go play it, it's a short game, but it's memorable. I think you'll enjoy it if you're an indie fan. And then obviously my favorite indie game, Firewatch. Oh man, I recently wanted to play it again, Ash, which would be my sixth time playing the game because it's 3 hours long, right? So you can complete it in a day if you do everything right, whatever the case is. But I wanted to play it again simply because of the amazing landscape and how immersed I get into the story. But I said, you know what, let me just complete one game and then I'll jump back to Firewatch. So those two games, they weren't AAA. They came out and not a lot of people played it or loved it, but it's one of those two games that it was memorable for me as a console lover. I think that for me, those games really made me think like, wow, okay, so there is AAA games and then there's amazing indie games out there and I should probably explore more indie games. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a whole new world that's out there that we often forget to enjoy. If you feel that AAA games are a bit boring and they aren't fun anymore, by all means, check out What Remains of Edith Finch and Hugh.
Yes. Yep. Let's give some mentions. I see this in YouTube videos. They give some honorable mentions. Dead Stranding. Mm-hmm. Let's credit the master of gaming on that game. I have not played it. I've seen it. I've watched part one and part two on the Rad Brad's channel. He covers all the latest games. And I've watched part one and part two. For me, it's not a game for me personally because I don't really... It's just walking around, so I don't really like it. But what he's been able to do, again, with the PlayStation 4, come on. That's amazing for me. I haven't seen...
What you just said, sorry to cut you off, but it reminds me of a meme. And the meme says that I don't want to walk that far in a video game.
Exactly, man. I kind of want to hit things, but the technology is amazing. The story is complicated. I've read the story, like what the story is about, because I just wanted to find out what Death Stranding is about. If I had to buy it, what am I getting into? And it's complicated. I'm not going to give too much if you haven't played it yet. But if you're feeling like walking a lot, and if you like complicated stories and a slow burn game, that game is definitely for you. And last honorable mention from my side will have to be Batman Arkham Knight.
What did you enjoy about it?
I mean, with Rocksteady, you can always expect the unexpected. they've given us a Batman trilogy almost that I have not seen yet. That's been translated like right now. I feel like Marvel's playing catch up with their games and they're releasing some nice stuff. But what Rocksteady did with Batman and Kevin Conroy, nostalgia all over the place. So I love that game. It's joyous. It's a joyous experience. It makes you feel... It goes deep into the character of Batman and understanding him, not just as a Sherlock or a crime solver, but who he is under the mask. I think that's what they try to do with these games, and that's how you felt playing Batman. So definitely a game that I think is worth mentioning, Arkham Knight. But let's not mention any more games. I think we're running out of time. We don't want to keep this too long for you guys, but before we wrap up, I just want to ask you, Ash. I know we've mentioned Last Gen, we mentioned the games that you love, we'll mention our first time getting the PlayStation 4. I want to find out from you, what next? If you do get the PlayStation 5, what happens to your PlayStation 4? Will you still be gaming on it? Will you keep it in a shelf? What do you plan to do with your console?
I haven't really thought about it, but I still have my PlayStation 3, so... What could happen is I might give that away to someone who hasn't played games before, being less privileged than I have. And yeah, let them enjoy that and then just move the 4 down to the lounge for the family to use. Because right now we do watch YouTube and stuff on my PlayStation 3. So many people see me online and they send me invites and stuff, but yeah, that's not me playing. What about you? What's going to happen to your consoles?
Before I say it, I just want to commend you for donating your console away. I think that's the best thing you can do. If you've got new console...
Well, I haven't yet, so...
No, when you do. I know that you're planning to, so... And I know that you will. You're a man of your word. So when you do hand it down, I think it's a beautiful thing that you're doing. You're giving someone the experience that you had, and you're saying, make your own experiences. Have your own amazing top 3 games of the last gen, you know? I think that's an amazing thing that anyone can do. If your console is just going to sit on a shelf... for whatever reason and you're like, you're not going to use it anymore, do what Ash is doing. Donate it. Give it to someone that can experience the amazing games you did, and let them attach their own feelings to games like we have. So yeah, go ahead and do that. For me, I don't know when I'm getting the PlayStation 5. Because one, my word, it's hard to get. And two, right now the price is skyrocketing and some of the issues that we'll kind of tackle in the next episode, I'm a bit concerned about. But when I do eventually get the PlayStation 5, which will be soon, because as a podcast host, we have to have these next-gen consoles to experience them. We'll get them soon. So what I plan to do with mine is also, I'm giving it away in the family though. My little cousin is heading into high school and hasn't had a chance to get a PlayStation 4 yet. I'm not sure if he's ever going to get one. So I said, I'm going to donate it to him and all my games. So, and I've got like 25 games max. So I'm going to donate all of that to him and let him have his own experiences. Thank you so much, guys, for this episode. There's so much to talk about when it comes to last gen. So many amazing games that we did not mention in this episode, but we'd love to. If this one does well, we'll definitely do a part two and talk more about the console, the games that we play, the stories that we have, and the memories that we'll forever keep in our minds and hearts. Catch us in our next episode where we talk about the issues with next gen, the future of next gen, and when Ash and I are finally getting our consoles. Thank you so much, guys.